You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, although not really daily this week. Let me just start off by saying I'm sorry there was no Monday podcast.
It was my fault.
Yeah, it was Jay King's fault.
It was entirely my fault. We were supposed to record after the World Series game, and I fell asleep. I would say more passed out.
Well...
I wasn't drinking, though. I just passed out.
You just passed out.
Yeah.
Well, then you should say fell asleep, because passed out implies that you were drinking.
But I feel like falling asleep implies that you meant to do it. Passed out is the involuntary act.
Okay. Whatever it was, Jay's taking the blame, but I was also moving. This is my first time, my first day back in Boston full time. I'd been in New York
for a while. We're together, guys.
What's that?
We're in the same room.
So we're
in my bedroom.
Yeah, this is exciting to be podcasting in the same place. We're actually able to like look and talk to each other, which we've only been able to do like in Las Vegas,
which sucks for me. I got to see his mug.
Yeah, I know. But now I'm back. The move is done. All my equipment is here. I found everything. There's no crazy sporting event other than the Patriots that will keep us from recording. But it's early enough. We'll release this super early. So it sort of counts as a Monday podcast. It's like a Monday-Tuesday podcast. Anyway, we're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, here to talk about that Pistons game and the kind of the wildness of that Pistons game, that Kyrie could score 3 points and Tatum can score five and Horford could score four, and the Celtics would just roll through that entire game with no problem. We also have an injury to Daniel Tice to talk about. Kyrie with some cool comments. Aaron Baines is back. So... Let's just start with Kyrie, because I think that performance, I didn't watch that performance and think, oh boy, Kyrie was like struggling or anything. Like he just was, to use the cliche, giving the game what it needed. That's exactly what he did, and he was distributing. He was really controlling the game. He just didn't score, which is just odd for Kyrie.
I thought he actually played really well. He was getting into the paint. He was breaking down the defense. He was kicking out to others. He was a big reason why they got so many open three-pointers like they did. And that's what they need from him. That's going to be how best he can maximize his contributions to this team. And this team hasn't been getting to the paint, hasn't been driving to the hoop enough, hasn't been breaking down the defense like it should. And Kyrie's a guy who can do that. And when he does that to set up his teammates, it changes things for them. And we saw that against the Pistons. He obviously, he's not going to score 3 points very often.
No.
But the fact that he did and still was a positive, I thought, to them, goes to show that he can make an impact for this team in different ways than just putting the ball through the basket.
Here's the one thing I wonder, because it's just not, it's not typical. It's not typical of a guy who's going into a max contract, who is going to be a highly sought after free agent, who's a star player, all of that, to just sit back. And I don't know if you have the quote in front of you, but the where he said that he wanted to be cool. I thought that was an awesome quote. Go ahead.
I was talking to a few of my teammates about this, but my quote for this year is just be cool. I really just have to stay cool, because if I start bucking and getting back into the old habits of what I'm used to, and the clear realization is that this is not what I'm used to. So going from being a high points per game scorer and being stat dominated and then coming to this type of environment where the best thing for us is to care about the team, and it's not going to be everyone's night every single night. And then he goes to talk about how he'll be ready when he's needed down the stretch. Like I said, it's a learning experience for me dealing with the expectations, with what the expectations usually are for myself. even with my family, like everyone's used to me scoring this amount of points or doing this at a certain standard. And so am I. But at the same time, the importance is us winning games and getting to the finals. So that's where it is.
I don't know that a guy who isn't already confident that he's going to sign with this team, I don't think that he has that mindset. I think that whole thing of the Celtics clearly want him back, he wants to be here, all of that. Now he can be free to do these things without people kind of questioning anything. When you drop 3 points, no one's going to sit there and be like, oh, why only 3 points? Why isn't he doing Kyrie things? So I feel like there's a comfort level with Kyrie saying, I know I want to be back here. And the team obviously wants him back. And he feels good about getting that guaranteed max contract, that they're not going to come back and say, oh, well, you didn't perform. You don't have these averages anymore. He doesn't care about the averages. He's just caring about doing what he needs to do to get that ring. Like, getting that championship is, I'm making it sound like he's like so focused on the championship and making him sound really, really good. But at the same time, getting that championship is the thing that's most important to him getting that goal, more so than scoring 30 points a game.
Yeah, I don't think money is an issue. He's done enough in his career. He's scored enough I think he's averaged 29 points per game in the finals. He's going to get max contract offers from probably the Celtics and a number of other teams with salary cap space. He shouldn't be concerned about that at all. I think it's mature of him to have the focus that he's had this year and to kind of understand that he needs to readjust sort of how he judges his impact on a game. Before, with him, it's always been like Kyrie scores and Kyrie gets buckets and Kyrie's an isolation god. And now that's not enough. It's not enough because the Celtics need more from him. It's not enough because they have a lot of other options. And I think it's interesting that he sees that. And I think he actually really likes the challenge of it. If you talk to people who know him well, they think he can sometimes get bored with basketball. They think that that's why he goes out and practices crazy shots, crazy finishes, and why sometimes like he'll go to the hoop and try some extra shit just because. But the challenge of fitting into this roster and kind of impacting things in a new way, I think he really likes that. And I think there will be tests for him along the way. I think, you know, if he's regularly scoring in single digits, it's going to be tough for him sometimes to realize, especially with some of the numbers guys are putting up this year across the league with the scoring as crazy as it is. But I do think, like, when he left Cleveland, people thought he wanted to be the man. And I'm not sure that that was really the case. I think part of it was he wanted to be in a place where everybody's empowered to be the man. Mm-hmm. And that he wasn't just going to be in the shadow of LeBron, and that LeBron was going to stop him from growing his game in other ways. And this is part of his growth.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because he, having come from that situation with LeBron, if you can sit there and say, well, maybe this is part of him not wanting to be LeBron, like that dominant personality. I mean, that's something I didn't think about. That he has seen what it's like to be in a person, to be that type of personality where you're so dominant that everything revolves around you. If he didn't like it there, and he's having that feeling of like, well, if I didn't like that there, then people wouldn't like that here. And if he wants people to like him, if that's important to him, then why would he be the same exact player that LeBron was, where he's just dominating everything and just in?
Plus, he's not LeBron.
Of course.
That's a big piece of it too.
But I mean, these guys all think that they can be that at that level. I mean, it's an interesting scenario. I think that part of the Celtics, as we transition now into the offense being better, somebody had to take a step back, I guess. You can't have all of these guys trying to get all of their shots at the same time. Like, so to have Kyrie say, you know what, these other guys have it going, and it was Tice and it was Mook and it wasn't the normal guys. But for this team to sit there and say, oh, all right, well, these guys have it going, we're not going to force our own thing. That's an important step in the progression, not just from Kyrie, but like I said, Tatum and Horford didn't score. And when those three guys barely combined for double digits themselves, for that to manifest itself in a monster win where the Celtics clearly look their best, I think it's important that that we have a few guys that are willing to take a step back when other guys are going.
Yeah, and I think that's important too because the Celtics' strength is in their numbers. It's not like if you look at their roster, do they have a top 10 guy? Do they have a top 15 guy either? Like you could say a few of them, including Gordon Hayward when he gets healthy, including Kyrie, including Horford, are borderline or close to that. And Tatum's climbing to – looks like he's on a path to climbing toward that level. But they don't have the top-level guy that some of these other teams do, that the Bucks have with Giannis, that guys have with Anthony Davis or Steph Curry, and maybe Kyrie is that. What really separates the Celtics is that they have five guys who can really, really do damage in the starting lineup, to use the World Series phrase, do damage. and then they have a bench of starting caliber players. And that's their strength. So if guys are willing to buy into that and guys are willing to have a three-point night and be totally cool with that, then that's where they're really going to grow and flourish. And I think that's part of why they've kind of struggled over the first four or five games is that it is an adjustment for everybody. Like, all these guys have been the man. Tatum was the man in college. Tatum was the man in the playoffs last year. Jaylen Brown was the man in the playoffs last year. Al Horford's probably not getting as many touches. The ball's not running through him as often as it has in the past. And Gordon Hayward is, for the first time, playing with so many different threats and still trying to recover from the ankle injury. So there's an adjustment period going on with everybody. The only one who hasn't seemed to be adjusting is Mook. even though who is suddenly like a selfless basketball player,
passing, taking the right shots. Like how many times has he had that taking the shot where we're like, oh, Mook, what are you doing? Like barely ever.
Yeah.
Like this season. I mean, it's early, but I think he actually is. He's when Mook is buying in.
Marcus Morris, Mr. Efficiency, man. Just like we all thought.
I can't. That's not a thing.
Honestly, that's a big
it's a huge deal.
Big evolution for them, because when you looked at their roster, one of the things that you thought might hold them back is that guys do get out of character, or in character, I guess, in Morris's and hijack the offense and take low percentage shots. Morris not doing that is one of those changes that matters. And I don't know how much it matters. I don't know whether it'll be a point or 2 points per 100 possessions, whatever the case may be. But that matters. Him driving to the hoop and kicking out instead of taking tough mid-range shots, it's a tweak that matters. And he's been really, really good so far. Well, I've been really impressed by his kind of thought process about the game so far. He's definitely different than he was last year.
Totally, totally. He has taken a step forward, it seems. And it is huge in the way that when the starters haven't figured it out, he's at least been able to come in off the bench and be that super important guy that can carry things until Brad Stevens finds a combination that will help when he's not on the floor, when Mook's not on the floor. So that's been a huge boost for the bench to have him out there doing what he's been able to do. It's kept the Celtics pretty close. And as bad as they've looked for some stretches, look, they've still pulled through. They managed that comeback against Oklahoma City, and they're starting to slowly figure it out. To have that one guy who's consistently been good actually is a big deal. All of this is probably messing with your fantasy teams because you don't know who is going to score what and when. You know, who knew that Marcus Morris was going to be super efficient? Who knew that Kyrie would be settling for 3-point games? I'm sure some fantasy owners probably sitting there going like, no. I didn't sign up for this with Kyrie Irving. That's why you need to listen to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Josh Lloyd does an amazing job. That is, I think, the most popular podcast on our network. Because
it shouldn't be. Locked On Celtics should be.
Well,
but it's great.
It's great. No, but the thing is that every fan of every team listens to Locked On Fantasy, the Lockdown Fantasy Basketball Podcast, because you don't have to be a fan of a particular team. So if you need to know who to pick up, who to drop, maybe there's another Marcus Morris doing something somewhere on another team that you haven't paid attention to, Josh Lloyd has that. So Lockdown Fantasy Basketball, search for that where you searched for us, where you found us. It's there. It's super popular and it's great. And you'll have, I guarantee you, you'll get an edge in your fantasy league by listening to this regularly, so you know who to pick up, who to drop, who's hot, who's not in the NBA. So today at practice, they kind of surprised us a little bit by dropping a little injury news. Daniel Theis with a slight tear in the right plantar fascia, which sounds bad because he's out indefinitely, but Brad Stevens kind of downplayed how bad it sounded. So without getting into actual timelines, he made it seem like the timeline might only be a few weeks, or at least a few weeks before he's reevaluated.
Yeah. Either way, not great news, obviously. The one good thing, I guess, for the Celtics is that with Horford moving over to starting center, the minutes at center are already slim. Like, Theis hasn't been
hasn't really been
a regular until Aaron Baines got hurt. So that's the good news, is that they still have Baines, who's probable now for Tuesday night after his hamstring injury, and they have Robert Williams, who's looked interesting at least during his brief time on the court. But the longer he's out, it puts stress on them. If they have other injuries that come along, and Theis, it's bad timing because he was just kind of starting to look like himself again. The Detroit game was by far his best of this season. He was great. He was active. He was getting rebounds. He was beating people down the floor. He was doing a lot of Theis things. So tough timing for him. And now he'll be out for probably some number of weeks, although we don't know exactly what that'll be.
Yeah. Plantar fasciitis, that's always such a pain because it's hard to treat that. It's hard to fight that. And when you're big and you run longer distances because you're running baseline to baseline, basically, rather than free throw line to free throw line. So you got a few extra steps to take. Just puts that pressure on your foot. It's a tough thing to deal with, but hopefully it doesn't hold them out too long. The good news is that Aaron Baines, like you said, is coming back, and that Robert Williams has looked pretty good in limited time. I don't know. I mean, Robert Williams did what he did against the Pistons, but it was like blowout time and it was against their bench. So I'm not exactly expecting him to come in against Andre Drummond and do a lot of different things, but I've been pleasantly surprised by at least the fact that he's trying to do the right things on the floor, that he's trying to execute what they're asking him to execute rather than just be, you know, rather than freelance and just say, okay, I'm a super athlete and I'm just going to go do this. He's trying to do the things that they're asking him to do.
Yeah, I mean, he had three blocks and a monster alley-oop the other night, and I thought his best play was that little touch pass to Yabu.
Oh, cutting man, down that was awesome.
Down the lane. Those are the plays that you're like, okay, he's not just a high flyer. He's got the basketball IQ. He's got some instincts for it.
Yep.
And so he's definitely looked interesting so far in his brief minutes. It wouldn't be the worst thing if they have to, long-term wise, at least, if they have to plug him in there and give him some time and just see what happens. And who knows what will happen. I don't know what will happen. I don't think the Celtics coaches really know what will happen. I'm sure Robert Williams probably doesn't really know what would happen. But it might be helpful long-term, at least, if he is forced to play some minutes during the next few weeks when Theis is banged up.
Yeah, and look, they're not forcing him. They're not forcing him in there. They're not putting him in situations where he'll struggle. If they don't think he's ready against certain matchups, then they won't put him in there. They'll just deal with it. They'll go small. They'll, you know, they've done Semi Ojeleye at the five, and you know, that's a curious situation with Semi Ojeleye, and I don't know what's going to happen with Yabusele. There's been some questions about Yabusele because by the time this podcast is out, if it's out Tuesday, it's the 30th. Yabu's option. The team options on the 31st, so that's another little storyline. But if Robert Williams is already going to get those minutes ahead of those two guys, because those are the two guys that have been looked at to maybe provide what Williams does, or even provide some of what they wanted from Marcus Morris at some point. Neither has been able to do it. So if Williams is the guy getting those minutes, not only is it, hey, that's great, we got Robert Williams, but that also puts a little bit of a, huh, I wonder what's going to happen with Ojale and Yabu moving forward.
Yeah, and obviously money is going to be something that the Celtics want to watch. And, you know, Yabu, his, I think it's 3.1 million dollar option is
Yeah. Well, and
he's interesting. He's interesting. He does some fun stuff.
He does fun stuff. The thing with Yabu is that the 3.1 million, if you put the luxury tax, if he's the only guy in the luxury tax, you're paying $1.50 per dollar that you're spending on him. So you're paying another 4.5 and change million to in taxes alone, which makes him a $7.5 million player, essentially. And that's a lot of money to just see how he keeps on doing. So with Robert Williams continuing to progress, if they can get him, and I saw them working with his shot and working on his jumper, and you had a thing about them working on his jumper on The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic for Jay King.
Shouts to me.
And so they're working on him becoming a bigger, more athletic version of the things that they were asking for from Yabusele and from Shimi Ojale. You know, it's kind of funny, just the luck of the draft where he falls to a point where they could actually draft him in the bottom of the first round, and it changes the dynamic of potentially two players on their roster who knows what happens moving forward with those two guys. Ojale, you can hold off a little bit on because the contract's not exactly the same just yet, but Yabu, you got a decision to make in the next couple of days. I would not expect them to pick up that option. I don't think they're gonna do it.
Yeah, we'll see. It's the Warriors saw something like that last year with Kevon Looney, where they actually declined it, and then he became a starter for them and like played big minutes right in the playoffs. All of a sudden, it's like, oh shit! I wish we hadn't declined that one. So there are examples of when teams kind of misevaluate their own talent. But yeah, that'll be an interesting decision to see what they do with Yabu.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're pretty deep, and they've got money to spend in other places. What do they do with Daniel Theis? He's a restricted free agent next season, not this season, next season.
Theis God.
So they've got some decisions to make, and money is being spent. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. We want to let you know that if you haven't followed Locked On NBA Net on Twitter, at Locked On NBA Net, that is just this powerhouse Twitter account where all of the Locked On podcast hosts exist. So it's not just me, Jay, and Sam Jam Packard on there. It's the podcast host for all of the other NBA podcasts. So Locked On NBA Net, you follow them, you're going to get everything. It's going to be basically a full NBA feed on your timeline. And you're just going to get a good update for everything that's happening in the league. So Locked On NBA Net, it's going to be all the best content, all the best tweets from all of the Locked On podcast hosts. So it's at Locked On NBA Net. Search for them on Twitter and give them a follow. One thing I thought today, talking to Gordon Hayward, going back to that Pistons game, I thought in that Pistons game, he looked his best athletically. Like he didn't go out there and dominate the game, but there were a couple of plays where he got the ball on the sideline, and he actually looked like he hit another gear, or a gear that he couldn't hit for the first part of the season, and he was attacking the rim, and he took some contact and finished through some contact. He took some contact and got back up. And I thought it was interesting today at practice where he said, basically, I'm starting to remember kind of who I used to be. And I thought that was a telling quote, because now he's getting into that next phase of his recovery, not just being a basketball player again, but becoming himself again.
Gordo is good. And Gordo now remembers that he's good, which is good.
That's good.
I was really interested by the matchup against the Pistons, because they're one of the biggest front courts in the league, and mm-hmm. they're one of the best rebounding front courts in the league. And the Celtics, in their first real test against a monster front court, just dominated them. They limited Drummond. They limited Griffin, and their offense was getting free shots everywhere because those guys couldn't guard them. And they can't guard Horford. They couldn't guard anybody. And so that was the first time I think we saw the Celtics really show how much of a mismatch they can be as long as they maintain that defense and rebounding against guys like that.
Can I just say how awesome that defense was against Blake Griffin? I mean, Blake Griffin does two things offensively. He tries to back you down because he's super strong, and then he has a very quick spin move, and they didn't let him bully his way to the basket. They anticipated that spin move, and they defended it very well, and they played it. He was putting up huge monster numbers in the first five games of the season at that point, or four games, and they just cut that shit off. They said, nope, and they defended him extraordinarily well.
And without Baines, to give up zero offensive rebounds in the first half, I mean, it was just really exactly what you would have wanted to see from the Celtics defense. And then their offense is going to be fine. And I don't know what that means, whether it's top 10 by the end of the year, top 5 by the end of the year. They're going to be able to score points. But if they're able to do that type of job against bigger front courts, everything's going to be fine for them, because they can just take advantage of you, and they're going to be faster than you in several positions. They're going to be more athletic than you in a lot of places. And they really did a good job of taking advantage of that. And then at the other end, just it didn't matter that they were smaller. They were faster and more connected and more talented. And they were just, I mean, that was really just as impressive by far as they've looked this year. And one of the kind of an eye-opening performance. Like, oh, okay, that's what they're capable of at both ends of the court.
Right. Defensively now, again, super small sample size, but defensively now they're the only team, I believe, to have held an opponent under
90 twice.
Under 90 twice. And they are now one of two teams with a defensive rating. Was it under 100? It's them in Milwaukee.
Yep.
So that's just, I mean, the thing we were worried about all preseason was, where's their defense? Now all of a sudden their defense is back in a huge way. So if they can keep that up, and at least, I mean, maybe it's not going to be as good, who knows, but if they can keep up this level of defensive play, then that offense doesn't need to be that magical thing that we had hoped at the beginning of the year, but it still could become that.
But ultimately, they're going to need it to be that magical thing, because for them, it's not about winning 55 or 60 games. It's not about anything in the regular season. It's about beating the Bucks or Toronto or whoever else in the East. And then it's about playing the juggernaut in Golden State. And to beat Golden State, it's not going to be enough to just have a great defense.
Right.
It's not going to be enough to you're going to have a hell of an offense. You're going to have to be able to score with those guys, because as good as your defense is, you're not going to just stop them.
No, that's true. So it's a fair point.
So they do need to find some offensive magic. And again, I don't know what that means, whether it's top five, top 10. I don't know exactly what the number is. And I do think they're kind of more suited for the playoffs, as weird as that may sound, because they have so many guys who can beat good defense and so many guys who can create tough shots, and sometimes that limits them in the regular season because they settle for those tough shots. But in the playoffs, sometimes those tough shots are the only things you can get, and they have a lot of guys who are at least good at that. So we'll see, but the offense is definitely coming along. The last three halves have been just total sunshine compared to the darkness of the first four and a half games.
That's poetic.
I'm beautiful poet.
All right, that's going to do it. Good stuff. First, like, in-person, in-season podcast.
Yeah, this is huge.
This is a big deal. This is a big deal. Hopefully, we had the quality, audio quality that everybody's dying for. Again, apologies for no Monday podcast. That is a complete aberration. In fact,
it's on
now,
me. It's on me.
Yeah, this is a good teammate. It's on me. Well, it's on both of us.
It's on me. I'm fully accountable.
But now that I'm back, we can record at any time. We're no limitations. So we're looking forward to a huge, huge season here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. So that means if you're a new listener, first of all, welcome. Second of all, subscribe. We love having new listeners, because that just means more people get to bask in our glory. And Jay King, like, I gotta, one more thing we gotta do is we gotta Instagram live these things so people can see your awesome hat.
This is a terrible hat.
No, it's a great hat. Yeah, I hope you wear this at the games.
So
it's very, very newsies like.
Yeah, I'm wearing like the 1850 news.
Yeah.
Newsy type hat. And
you look like you could be playing for like the 1820 Chicago White Sox or something.
I look like Jack Kelly. Do you know yes. that reference?
Is it a Titanic reference?
Newsies reference.
Newsies reference.
No. Newsies is probably the top five movie. Beautiful musical.
Yeah, I don't like musicals.
It owned my childhood.
Really?
And so that's why I had to buy this hat when it was $3.50 for the Newsies aspect of it.
It's, I mean, it works for you. It works.
If any Newsies lovers are out there, it doesn't work.
It works. I've never watched Newsies. I don't know what. I mean, I know it. I've seen the ads for the musical and everything. I did live in New York for a while, so. All right, whatever.
You're just not as cultured as I am.
That's true. That's the one thing I've always said about comparing myself to you is I'm not as cultured.
I'm as such a Jay cultured King. Guy.
He's just such a cultured, I mean, just a Renaissance man, is really.
Shouts to the listener, by the way, who was mad that I'm not just a laid back black guy.
That was a great comment. Well, you've got, I guess you've got like, I don't, what was the comment? Sleepy looking.
Sleepy, laid back black dude.
Yeah.
And then he saw a picture kind of me and was like, the hell, that dude's white?
Yeah.
I don't like him anymore.
Just add him to another person disappointed by seeing a picture of you.
The long list.
Add it to the list. All right. So if you're not subscribing by now, please do subscribe. Everybody out there who is a subscriber, please 5-star rating, good review. Share the podcast, spread the word, tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.